My friends in Christ, the Gospels give us more than one story about Jesus restoring sight to a blind person. But the story we just heard is different from the others. This was a story not about Jesus restoring sight, but about giving sight to someone who never saw in the first place, a man blind from birth. It's a powerful story and a long one, but however long, it leaves some things unsaid. For instance, it doesn't say a thing about what it was like for this man when he first opened his eyes. It must have been dazzling, but confusing too, because he would have had absolutely no point of reference. No idea, for instance, what light or color were. No idea either what people looked like, or trees, or water, or flowers, or the sky. Then, in a flash, he was surrounded by an infinity of newness. But we hear nothing of this in the story because it's not the concern of the gospel writer, nor is it the point of the story. Remember, we are in John's gospel, the gospel of signs and symbols. That should tip us off to the fact that we are dealing here with a physical miracle, yes, but with far more than that. In John's gospel, miracles are always signs. They are signs that point beyond themselves. So we have to dig a bit. We have to get below and beyond the appearance of things, because in John's gospel, if you will pardon the pun, there is always more than meets the eye. And what is that more in this story? It's a kind of sight, a kind of seeing that is deeper by far than mere physical sight. This story is not so much about the glorious things we see with these eyes as it is about the far more glorious things we see with the eyes of faith. It's about a man getting his eyes opened, yes, but the really important eyes that get opened in this story are the eyes of faith. That's why the church gives us this story during Lent. Lent is the church's prime time for growing in faith. Lent is meant to be eye-opening time for the church, and especially for all of those throughout the church who are preparing for baptism at the Easter Vigil. What better time, then, to hear this story? What better time to reflect on faith and what faith means to us and where faith can take us? What better time to come to terms with what a gift faith is, and at the same time, to acknowledge how weak and fragile and shaky our faith can sometimes be. I often find myself wondering how people without faith make it in this life. Do you wonder about that? I know people who would really like to believe. They've been searching for years, even coming to church, but they've never been able to make the leap of faith. And I wonder why. Why do I have faith and they don't? I honestly don't know. All I do know is that faith is a gift, and that gifts are always, always mysterious and never deserved. I also know that even those of us who are blessed with faith have to struggle with it at times. A favorite prayer of mine from the Gospels is the simple one a father made to Jesus when he desperately wanted him to cure his son. He said to Jesus, who asked him if he believed, "I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief." Do you relate to that? I know I do. I think we all do. I recall a conversation I had years ago with Ulrich Henn, the German sculptor who created our bronze doors out there and our tabernacle in the Blessed Sacrament Chapel. He was telling me about a door handle he was planning for one of the flanking bronze doors out there, how he wanted in that handle to tell the gospel story of Peter walking on the water toward Jesus and then starting to sink. When I asked him why that story, he said to me, "People who come here may believe, but not always very well. And they need to know that Jesus will be there to pull them out of the waters of unbelief, as he did Peter. I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief." Today's gospel also makes it clear that faith is more a process than it is a possession. Faith is not a neatly packaged set of beliefs. It's not a portable catechism we carry around with us with carefully crafted answers to every possible question. No, faith is really a pair of eyes, a way of looking at life, a way of knowing, a way of living. And faith is not a stagnant thing. Faith is a growing thing, or it should be. We see that in today's gospel. The blind man comes to faith only in stages. Only gradually does he come to recognize who Jesus was. Only gradually does he actually come to put his faith in Jesus. Notice how that story unfolds. When the authorities first question him about how he got his sight, he tells them it was from the man called Jesus. There's a certain distance in that language, isn't there? A little detachment even. Then as they continue to grill him, he refers to Jesus as a prophet and a man from God. And there are stirrings of faith there for sure. Later, when Jesus finds him and engages him in conversation, he expresses belief in Jesus as the Son of Man. That's getting even closer because Son of Man is a biblical title with divine overtones. And then, finally, in an act of profound faith, he calls Jesus Lord and worships him. Quite a trek that was from the man called Jesus to Lord. No wonder we speak of faith as a journey. My friends, the blind man's path to faith should give hope to all of us who are on a similar path, all of us who believe, but not always very well, all of us who have our blind spots. And we can draw even more hope from today's reading from the book of Samuel, where we were reminded that all of this is not just about what we see, but what God sees. God sees in ways we humans do not and cannot. The God who saw promise in the young shepherd boy David sees promise in us too, no matter how unpromising we may feel about ourselves. That's because God looks into the heart, and we see only the appearances. My friends, may this Eucharist we celebrate open our eyes to the God who looks into the heart, into our heart, and loves what he sees.